I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Giggs, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Phone off the hook. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble. Ooh, I'm Marcus and James or Jim is here.
All right.
Pete's here.
Yeah.
And Luke's here.
All right.
It's lovely to have you, the listener, here as well. Now then, boys, if you were a Premier League striker and you moved to a big club for a huge transfer fee...
Who could you mean?
Went ages without scoring and then you finally did score, how would you celebrate, James?
What I would do is I would kick the ball back into the net for every chance I'd missed. Start repeatedly just spank it back in. Just even if people were trying to drag me away and it was taking ages, then I'd probably like just eat the ball or something like that. So the defenders would be scared of me.
Maybe run
and
out
then I'd probably score again.
Maybe run up the 18-yard line and try the volleys that you missed as well. Yeah. And the headers.
So you basically get sent off, is what you're
saying? Yeah. I'd just lose it.
Would you? Dive in at the
I'd love to score a goal for a Premier League team. It'd be brilliant. Yeah. Imagine it. Oh, I don't know what I'd do.
I've already gone ages without scoring a Premier League team.
You'd quite happily, go ages for a Premier League team to score. Pete?
I'd probably jump into the crowd, standard, and punch every second person because statistically, they would be the ones that had doubted me. And I would punch a child, I would punch an old granny. Just one of every second.
About an
person.
Old child.
Which technically is a granny, really.
I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's just like a regular night out for you then, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Failed to score loads, finally managed to score somehow. Unbelievable.
Very naughty, Luke. What have you got for us then, sweetheart?
This is, for one, something I feel very well versed in and well practiced. I hardly ever score, and when I do, it's a surprise to me more than anyone else. I would probably wipe my brow.
Yes.
And then maybe do a bit of a totty, like put the football up my shirt and pretend to give birth to it, like my career has been born.
Reborn.
Yeah.
But you know what you do?
I don't know, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Little mime at the end.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Totty did it in a different context.
Just a bit much.
He's won the golden boot before.
But I would make a really visual show of like wiping my brow to show that I had a bit of a sense of humour about the whole thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I think Torres should have done, really, because it would have been fun.
So you're criticising Torres for not wiping his brow after scoring?
I've run out of things to criticise him for.
Well, there's enough rain kicking around. And when he did score, it sort of aided the slide, which I thought quite liked.
What was with the pitch? I mean, that is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. It was really hot until about 30 seconds before the game.
It was insane.
Just down.
It was still sunny here. Like, not... How many miles away? Maybe five miles away?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Maybe even six.
Maybe even six.
What would you do, Marcus?
I'd just walk off. Retire. Move on to the next club. So they walk off the pitch.
For presumably a markedly less transfer fee.
to show everybody that money, isn't everything.
Yeah. James, you've already done that by not scoring for ages.
Jim's got the points.
Oh, it's almost like it was preordained.
What up, pal?
Cheers, man.
Get in there.
Thanks. I worked hard on these.
He was like visibly sort of pained by you hitting it there.
He will be.
Yeah.
Not a sportsman. Now then, in the Premier League, Chelsea did beat West Ham and Torres did score the goal.
What if Torres never scores again after this match?
We had some fun with that, didn't we?
We did.
How good was Malouda's goal?
Yeah. Icing on the cake.
Spanking.
Icing on the cake. It was a bit unfair on West Ham because they weren't too bad.
No.
They weren't too bad. I thought Sears played well.
They've got a great running coming, West Ham. I think they've got Blackburn, Sunderland and... perhaps Wigan, I think it might be. They've got three of the worst teams in the league there.
Apart from them.
Yeah.
Well, they're the worst team.
If they get their mini revival, back, you know, as they seem to have about a month or so ago. They could be all right. I still think they'll stay up, even though they're bottom.
And they've got Football Writers Player of the Season amongst
them. They have.
He didn't play, did he, against Chelsea?
No, he never played. Scott Parker, good to see.
Yeah.
We happy with that?
Yeah, no, it's nice that he's been acknowledged.
He's worked hard, and that's what you've got to do, kids.
You sort of half think that if it wasn't for Parker, they'd already be dead and buried.
Yeah.
I mean, whilst Hitzlsperger has been okay when he's played, otherwise they've been poor. I mean, you know, if all the players they had were all hitting their potential, I don't think they'd be in that position. But I think they're a bit rudderless. I don't think Grant offers them the leadership they need.
They're just blunt a lot of the time, aren't they?
Yeah, and the whole thing about that Parker thing at half time, where he really apparently galvanised the troops, because it's really moving, which is, it was all well and good, but it makes me just think, well,
just do that at the start of the game.
Do that. Well, Grant should be doing that. Exactly.
Or maybe do it every week.
Yeah.
Oh, James.
Here we go.
Same time every week.
Sorry, mate. Well, at least they didn't give away a lead this time.
No, it's true.
Arsenal.
But
course.
They did play quite well. Their play was well enough to win.
Yeah, but almost sarcastically, from where I'm sitting. Just like, oh, look, we could be really good, you pricks. You pay so much to come and watch us. Ah! It's infuriating. But I mean, it's again, I wrote about this in my blog this week, footballround.com. Go and check it out.
Yeah, go on.
But it is just. It's just like they're just expecting someone else to score the whole time. And Wenger talks a lot about mental strength, and that's clearly what they don't have.
Maybe it's
clearly they lack. Yeah, if I start supporting Spurs, maybe things will pick up.
But no, so maybe
I'm not
you're
prepared
the one
to do
that. Needs to score the goals.
Yeah. I doubt that.
I'm not sure that's the best solution, Marcus.
I forget myself sometimes. Yeah.
But I think Jim's right, and something that Ferguson impresses on his players as a matter of absolute importance is mental strength and concentration.
Man United are at their best when they're up against it.
Absolutely.
Arsenal are just the complete opposite of that, and it's just this incredible hangover. Like, I mean, it all started at the Carling Cup final, obviously, but they just cannot raise themselves. They'll probably be great in the last couple of games when they're absolute dead rubbers. Like,
no, as soon as they're mathematically cannot win the league, they'll be fine.
Give him a little bit of hope for the next season. What they need is like just three stifling players just to come on and just see the game.
Yeah,
just really bad players. Just keep on fouling, giving away yellow cards.
Giving away a penalty in the 102nd minute.
Yeah, people like that.
Well, poor old Arsenal, James. Right now, did you see Wolves versus Fulham?
Yes, I saw. Well, they're still on the radio, in actual fact.
Right. 1-0, Andy Johnson scoring. Nice to see. Obviously, he was out for ages. Blah blah blah.
He only came on about 20 seconds before that, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, I think he's scored about 2 or 3 this season. He's been out for a while.
Mark Hughes was a lovely one on the touchline.
Mark Hughes had a few goes at kicking a bottle.
Do you know what I kept thinking to myself when I saw that on Match of the Day? I was thinking, God, it's great technique. I love his form. I love the way he kicks the ball.
It was because it was on the floor. What he should have done was got one of the other coaching staff to throw it up to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd have volleyed it.
Oh, he kicked it. Wait, pick a spot. Tell me where you want it.
I like to think that someone handed him the bottle. He dropped it. He took that as the bottle, not having shook his hand, and just decided to go for it.
Now get on this, chaps. Get on this. Only Manchester United, Chelsea, and Manchester City have conceded less goals than Fulham in the league.
Wow,
that's excellent.
But only Birmingham and Wigan have scored less.
Yeah, they don't score many. Their away form's also abysmal.
Yeah. If you want to see goals, don't go and see Fulham play.
No,
we knew that already.
Yeah. If you want, you're the one who goes to watch it, not us.
Well, when the price is right.
What was it, £35 to go and watch Newcastle?
It was.
Lord.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, very true. I saw them against Everton for a tenner once.
Yeah.
A season ago.
Still worth it or not? Still overpriced?
There was 3 goals in that game.
Oh, fair enough.
Two of them were Fulham's. Fulham should be okay, shouldn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, Fulham would be fine.
Absolutely. It's 3 from that bottom 5 of Blackburn, Blackpool, Wigan, Wolves, and West Ham, in my opinion.
I think Blackpool just doomed.
It's
just awful.
I'd like to see Blackburn go down just because they've been playing some awful football all season, and then their manager gets fired, and then now they're just not even producing the results. So it's kind of
exactly. Yeah.
Venkies deserve it.
They were grinding out results. Now they're grinding out defeats. It's always like, what are you doing awful, that for? Yeah. But they've got to go away to Wolves and West Ham, and they've got to play Manchester United. So it doesn't look great for them.
No. And of course, they lost to Manchester City this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't realise this, but it was Edin Dzeko's first goal, wasn't it? First Premier League goal. That's abysmal.
Yeah, he's basically got out of getting hassled because
of Torres. Yeah.
Absolutely right. Torres has taken the limelight from him, and never has such a big signing got away with so much in the Premier League. He's not even been playing games because he's been poor. You know, but I think he is a good player, and I think he'll settle in time. But he didn't even get his chance to have his moment because Balotelli tripped him over after the game. <didn't he?
laughs> That's right.
Amazing.
Good old Balotelli. Well, it's funny you mentioned Balotelli. He's been up to his old tricks. He won 25 grand at a casino. Do you hear this recently?
Mm.
Right.
Now, I say old tricks, actually. That's harsh, because he won 25 grand at a casino. He came outside, there was a tramp there. He gave the tramp a grand. I think it's a nice talent.
That is the equivalent of me winning, like, a few hundred quid. That's how much money he earns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not even.
They do say look after the thousands and the millions and look after themselves.
Do you think he should have given the tramp all 25 grand?
To be fair, are you like the king of tramps if you get a hang outside the casino?
Yeah, I imagine there are some sort of really low energy fights for position.
I really hope the tramp didn't just go in the casino and blow it.
Red.
The temptation. Yeah.
I'll have a grand on Red 17, my good man. Yeah. Oh, no. He did. Now, apparently, allegedly, police pulled him over to ask why he had lots and lots
allegedly
of money.
Allegedly is an area just outside Manchester. Those living abroad.
Yeah. Why he had 24 grand in cash on his front seat, and he just turned around and went, because I can.
I don't believe that.
It does sound too good to be true, doesn't it?
A man like that, I bet he didn't even change it out of the chips. Yeah. He just can't be arsed.
Yeah.
And he just uses it to like prop up his seats in the front.
I'm going
to
throw these chips at you, team players.
Mind you, though, the 24 grand will easily cover the 10 grand in parking fines that he's racked up.
Mm. That's one side of professional football playing that I do not respect. I think that's genuinely disrespectful.
Crack,
to the human beings.
What, contributing to the public purse?
I was going
to
say.
Well, technically, I guess, but it's kind of like, ha, this is like a mere trifle to me.
Yeah, I just park where I like.
That was Thierry Henry impression, didn't it?
Yeah, he parks with double yellows.
One of the things I don't like about the sort of tabloid angle to the stories about Balotelli is that they always reference how he's not been very good. When it's clearly he has been good.
Yeah, he has been.
He's been injured, quite a serious injury in his knee.
He's 21, is he?
Yeah, he's 20 or maybe 20, I think, and he's got 10 goals in 18 games. He's won 3 Serie A titles and a Champions League.
Yeah.
He's not too shabby. No, we're not talking about a massive flop here. He's only been here a season.
Yeah, but his car has been impounded 27 times.
It's not even him that has to sort it out. That's a brilliant thing. It's just, imagine being the sort of the player liaison officer at City. It must be an absolute nightmare.
Do you know who his minder is? Roberto Mancini's son. Andrea Mancini is his minder. He's also part of the City Academy, and he's been told he's got to look after him.
Oh, Jesus. Dad's not going to like that.
Yeah. I will set fire to whatever I want. Including you.
Imagine him. Dad, I'd just rather concentrate on my own game, to be honest. No, you're doing that.
That's harder than having a real job, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't forget, even Mourinho said he was unmanageable, didn't he?
Yeah. He's crazy. So crazy.
I love him. I say... He can park his car down Balotelli Boulevard anytime he wants.
Balotelli Boulevard, there it is. He said it. Well, what about Darren Gibson Drive? Does that work?
No, not really.
No. Okay.
Darren Gibson Gables, sort of.
He's been bullied off Twitter.
Really sorry for him.
It's very harsh.
Can it be Man United fans saying all those things? I mean, or just people posing as Man United fans?
Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, there's loads of players on Twitter that don't get anywhere near that grief.
On the other hand, man up.
Well, yeah, I mean, it should really be water off a duck's back, really. I mean, if I got upset every time, like, somebody criticised me on iTunes reviews, for example.
Right.
You know, people like Tottenham 82, William Brown, Hermano One, Warwick Hunt, Christine Donaldson. I mean, what sort of person would I be if I let that get to me?
Be a very petty man.
I would be a very petty man.
It would only work, that analogy, if you actually then removed yourself from iTunes.
Yeah, I'm off, guys.
Have you been getting bullied, Pete?
No.
What's the cover bullied?
I'm unbullyable.
I've told Christine before. I'll tell her again.
She's a shit.
Point him out to me. All right.
But Gibson, it's unfair on Gibson because one of the things they said was the biggest compliment I can give you is that you're better than Michael Carrick.
I'd be very happy if someone said that.
Yeah,
to
that's
me.
A bit weird, isn't it?
If someone said you're a lot worse than him, I think I'd take that.
Yeah, but it's true.
Well. Yeah. I'd have to take it.
Yeah, I've definitely had worse than that on Twitter, and I'm still on it. So man up, Gibson.
Yeah, and just play better.
Don't use that.
Well, you're one of them.
It's not going to happen, is it? If he plays
better. Some of the insults, things. It's not nice to see because it's just a little bit sort of, you know, lowest common denominator. He says. But the thing is that I like the way that some of the insults are really specific.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I saw United put 21 passes together the other day, and you hoofed it into the stand. Like, really specific. That.
Yeah. Sometimes players miss shots.
That's true.
Not that bad.
Indeed they do. Now, let's go down to the Championship. there are people trying to come up out of the Championship, mm-hmm. but no one has of yet. Yeah. The QPR fans, they thought that that their team were up, but Norwich got a last-minute winner, and thus QPR haven't...
They jumped the gun.
Now, I was actually up around that part of town, and I could hear a bit of cheering, and I thought, oh, blimey. And I went back and checked, I thought, no, Hull scored a late-ish goal.
They are pretty much up.
Pretty much,
if they had won... They'd have gone through, and they had chance. They'd have gone up, and they had chances to go up as well.
Yeah,
they had chance to win the game. Sorry, but it reminded me that I love a pitch invasion. But the reason I love a pitch invasion is because when everyone gets on the pitch, they're all a bit right.
Don't know what to do now. We're not supposed to be here, are we?
There's nowhere to go.
But aren't QPR? Haven't they got like a big sort of the Alejandro Fowling player?
They may
very well lose points.
Yeah,
imagine if they got thrown out of the automatic promotion places and slap bang into the playoffs.
What's the point of the auction mooted to be?
It's gonna. I think it'll just be
a fine like the West like the West Ham. It's exactly the same situation as the West Ham one, pretty much.
But they make a decision on that in a fortnight's time. But one of the things it's worth.
Sheffield United kicking off.
They're instigating it. Sheffield United are good as down now, I think.
Yeah, they are.
But one thing is,
bloody QPR.
We should say is that if Warnock gets QPR promoted, that'll be his seventh promotion as a manager, which is amazing.
That is good.
It's great effort, isn't
it? It's Dave Bassett-esque.
Yeah, and it would be more, but you can't get promoted from the Premier League.
Well, you've got to win it first. It looks as though it's going to be a straight fight pretty much between Norwich and Cardiff for second place. But Forest won, they're back in the playoffs, Pete.
I don't know, is that sort of charge that we were talking about last week?
Is that it? Is that the start?
I think so. Did you see David James' nice new ponytail?
McGugan
slammed a free kick against him. I noticed he got like a tight sort of Michael Jackson Man in the Mirror era.
David James, you're 40 years old. Have a look at yourself.
Isn't he 41 now?
Even worse.
Oh,
same principle.
How time can add numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
And lines. Preston North End have been relegated.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bloke.
Oh, Phil Brown. Phil Brown's, you heard it here first, Phil Brown's leaving Preston North End. Do you know how I know? Because on the radio today he said, I'm here for the long haul. So he's definitely
he's
going.
Out. He's out.
As opposed to the long haul. don't know, but League One, Swindon Town have been relegated as well.
Yeah, we had a weekend of a lot of relegations and not going up.
That's the business end.
That's a show.
Well, no, actually, Bury were promoted. They beat Chesterfield 3-2. Oh, yes. Speaking of pitch invasions, there was one there. A Chesterfield fan ran onto the pitch during the celebrations and punched the Bury goalkeeper, Cameron Belford.
Beautiful picture of it.
Yeah.
As the fist connects to chops.
The keeper looks completely unfazed.
Yeah, no, it's like...
The supporter /hooligan looked like Darren Anderton for me.
Yeah. He did a little.
And he's not denied it.
Did he break his finger? Otherwise it's not Darren Anderton.
Well, it does just kind of... The photo makes it look like he's just sort of pushing his face with his fist. And then the keeper's expression seems to just go, ah, that's a shame.
It's a quick exposure rate.
The caretaker manager at Bury, I think he's won 6 games in a row to get him promoted.
Well, Robbie Fowler's been involved.
Oh, has he?
He's clearly the key, isn't he?
No, he's not the caretaker manager, but he's been in the dugout of late.
Is he looking to buy the place?
Running out to his family.
Exactly. Also in League 2, Stockport are pretty much all but relegated. So
the Football League. I remember them being in the what is now the Championship, playing league games against Portsmouth.
Yeah, quarterfinals of League Cups. All sorts of things. In the SPL, the big one: Rangers 0, Celtic 0. Nothing result in the old firm.
An unlikable match. I think. Yeah. It's not just crap.
I just wish they'd play each other more.
McGregor saved the penalty.
McGregor is an absolutely brilliant goalkeeper.
There was a big discussion on the forum, the Football Ramble forum at footballramble.com, that McGregor was the best goalkeeper in the British Isles at the moment.
I wouldn't disagree with that. He's a brilliant keeper. He's up there with Hart, in my opinion.
Celtic look as though...
Sorry, you're dismissing Jens quite...
I meant British goalkeepers, not currently applying their trade in the British
Jens.
Otherwise, absolutely, James. Celtic look as though they'll probably win the league now. I mean, they're a point behind Rangers, but with a game in hand. But they do still have to go away to the magnificent Gorgie boys of Hearts of Midlothian. So, I mean, I said the Hearts could win the league. They can influence.
They're 18 points off it, are they?
This is a dramatic change.
Yeah, but they can still influence the league title.
Are
and
you still
and
holding
I think
that for a West Ham-esque points deduction for Rangers and Celtic?
It's all next season.
Yeah.
There's always next year. Or, yeah. or maybe the year after.
Boys.
Where they're from. Now then, we go from Scotland to Spain, as we tend to do. The Copa del Rey final, obviously it was last week, but
good name for a cup.
Yeah.
The King's Cup.
King's Cup, yeah.
Real Madrid won it, boys. Barcelona have been beaten.
They did, yeah. It was
deserved, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought Mourinho got his tactics spot on, actually.
They stifled them very well, which is a very, very, very tough thing to do.
Barcelona could have won it. There was a goal disallowed by Pedro.
Yeah, very harshly.
Yeah, they could have stood.
So
take it off them.
For me,
they've destroyed it themselves. So.
Yeah.
It was all to do with Real Madrid breaking out the box so quickly.
Yeah.
They're so quick on the break. Yeah. And Ronaldo's neck muscles.
Oh, yeah. What a neck.
It's that a horse's it. Neck. He's one
it? it was Soles-esque, that hang in the
he's
air.
He's one of those people whose necks, and you see it a lot from rugby players, but his neck's as wide as his head.
Yeah.
So he's got some real giraffe-esque muscles.
Like an American trooper, soldier man.
As we know, though, Sergio Ramos dropped the cup out of the team bus, which then ran it over. It's like they're just going out of their way to be as evil as possible.
like I said before, Sergio Ramos commits red card offences off the pitch as well.
Yeah. Go on, this one. Rather, Champions League.
Yeah.
See you later. I watched that on the Barcelona boat.
All right, where's that?
It's moored on the Thames in London. I was quite disappointed it was moored. I thought, here we go, next stop, Nou Camp.
Yeah.
It's in central London.
Good with geography, aren't you?
A-level.
hang on, before the show you were talking about the fact that you did A-level PE. A-level PE
in geography. Sports studies.
Sports studies.
Very difficult, it's very difficult.
What did you get in geography?
Unbelievable.
I think I got a C. C for clever.
I did English, Lit and History, because they're proper subjects.
How many? Two.
And computing.
Well,
one eye on the future.
Well, we'll talk about that later on, Pete, when the show really hots up. it was on the boat. It's like a Barcelona supporters club. It was good.
Was it a good atmosphere?
It was really odd because they played at the start of the game. They boomed out the Barcelona kind of national anthem.
The hymn,
if you like. Yeah. And that was before the game, as the camera was going along the players. And it took me a while to realise that actually that's just the sounds, the speaker system in the boat doing that, and it's not on the telly. Because I was thinking that. Real Madrid must have been a bit annoyed about that.
Did it all kick off when they lost?
Not really, actually. They were quite gracious in defeat. But when it was in the second period of extra time, and they were 1-0 down and chasing the game, and somebody just boomed out the anthem, the Barcelona hymn again on the loudspeakers, and everyone just started singing along. I was like, guys, you're chasing the game, and you're all just jumping around.
So what was the atmosphere like after the game? Were they deflated? Were they
a little bit? But it was okay. I think they just you're on a boat. It was a lovely warm evening.
Nobody jumped off the ship.
No,
drowned.
No, but you're right there. Someone would fish you out. It's fine.
It's like a challenge.
Get over there if you get the chance. Quite simply,
is it like a rival Real Madrid boat on the other side?
Now you're talking.
That'd be great. It does give Madrid a huge psychological advantage going into the Champions League games.
Mm. I think Real Madrid just need for the Champions League games. They obviously play at home first.
Mm.
They need to keep 11 players on the pitch.
Yeah, they are struggling with that.
And because if they go to the Nou Camp and they've got one of their best players suspended, like Di Maria or something, who it was last time, they're in real trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so they've really got to keep their discipline. But now, as we alluded to last week, now they seem they can hurt them.
Mm. They rested a lot of players against Valencia. And,
there you go. And
Higuain's got a hat-trick, didn't he?
And
Kaká just scored a brilliant goal in the second half.
Good to see him back.
It is, it's great.
I'd love to see him back at his best, I really would.
Yeah, well, it looks like he's getting there.
He paraded his kid around before the game, didn't he? His second child. Here we go. Here it is.
Does he have a little t-shirt on that said, I belong to Kaká?
It works. It works.
Literally.
Down there, it works.
Yes,
yeah. Kakinho, maybe.
Little shit, that would translate that. As in a lot of places.
In some places, you're right. Have you heard the reports that Mourinho might go after John Terry and get the Carvalho-Terry partnership?
Yeah. Well, sign him, we'll just go after him. Yeah. Coming for you, Terry.
Get away from my wife.
Yeah.
He's surely not that stupid.
He wouldn't do that.
What, John Terry? Okay,
I'd love to see Terry in Spain just because we'd see him less often.
Would you though? It would be really sort of, we'd only hear about Real games and
to be fair, it wouldn't be that. I know what you mean.
It'd be like
when
Beckham went there, but on a slightly smaller scale.
Yeah,
because Beckham was not a twat.
What about, well, in Serie A, there's talk from Nigel Riococca's agent that Nigel Riococca might be on his way to Napoli.
Interesting.
Probably won't happen, though.
No, I can't see why they would need Nigel Riococca.
They've had a very good
season. That's an early bid for strangest transfer rumour of the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, setting the stall out. I can't see why a football club would need Nigel Riococca.
What, not a top three Italian side, no?
Not a football club.
Okay, ask not what Nigel Riococca can do.
Oh, sorry, this is Napoli Rugby Club.
Oh, is it?
But by the way, see, maybe even stranger.
With a caveat, Portsmouth will definitely take him.
The Nuge scored.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Really?
They're not in Italy.
No, and they never will be because the Anglo-Italian Cup is no more.
It's a shame.
Yeah, Napoli dropped more points. The title race is pretty much over, really. Milan look as though they've got it. They won away to Brescia. Now, last week we mentioned Sampdoria. They were bottom, they were struggling down the bottom. Well, they still are, but they beat Bari. Bari are relegated now.
Bari are terrible.
But Sampdoria have been, they have moved out of the relegation zone for the moment.
Good. A likeable club, Sampdoria.
Yeah, they are.
Since they lost their strikers.
I like their weird badge.
It's like a man smoking.
Odd silhouette of a.
Is it sailor
smoking?
Yeah.
A sailor.
There's a couple of weird Italian badges. Is it Roma that's got Romulus and Remus?
That's right, the Fountains of Rome, yeah, legendary.
With the fox. Is it the fox?
It's a wolf, isn't it?
A wolf. Same thing.
Because they are the wolves, aren't they? Isn't that
the wolf, as in like hungry, like the.
Stop trying to bring in that band again.
You always bring it to Durant.
It's been a while.
Done it, haven't I now?
It's been a while.
I might as well stop.
I wouldn't mind every time you didn't do it, you didn't tick something off on your list. That's Durant Durant in there again. Do you remember we actually did a whole show based around Durant Durant with their music and everything, and we named it after one of their songs?
We did the whole podcast wasn't based around them.
Wow.
Wild Boars. It was Wild Boars.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, ramble history for you there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I need to talk to you about a man called Salvatore LaRusso. Are you familiar with him?
Is he Daniel LaRusso from Karate Kid's dad?
No, it's slightly different spelling.
Is he Danny LaRusso's daughter, son?
I'm glad none of you have heard of him, because if you had, I would have asked further questions. He's a captured mafia boss.
Okay.
Now,
you imagine him in a net.
Got him.
Forget about it. I'm in a net.
Now, we must tread carefully here. But he's in.
I think we're pretty safe.
Well, this came out to light the other week. He's been in the courts, and for some reason, he told the court that Diego Maradona's 1986 World Cup golden ball, Jimbo's already started.
Well, it's Ballon d'Or, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The World Cup golden ball for best player.
Oh, sorry, okay, yeah.
It was stolen by a mafia clan, melted down, and turned into gold bars. He tried to help him recover. He tried to help Maradona recover this. He said, I did. But in response to what he did for Maradona, he said, I did give him back four watches that were stolen, but one of them wasn't his, so he gave it back to me.
What?
How many gold bars would it make?
I don't know.
Just
it's an
one,
interesting
presumably,
question.
At the very most.
So the golden ball for best player of the World Cup is an actual solid golden ball.
Yeah, I think it's the World
Seems
Cup's
excessive.
Gold.
That is grotesque. Oh, yeah, that's fair enough. It's a trophy that you give away. And
it's a great tax expense. Around,
FIFA.
Actually, he could have saved himself on his tax there if he'd kept that and melted it down. He owes the Italian government about 33 million euros, doesn't he?
Yeah. So. I think it's more, isn't it? It's a hell of a lot. Maybe that was, maybe the mafia we'll give it to the government for you.
That's one for Diego Corner. I'll talk to Diego next time I see him.
He's been telling off.
Yeah. He's been very quiet of late, I have to say.
No, he hasn't. We've just not been talking about it.
Now then, to the Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund lost away to Mönchengladbach, who are now moved off the bottom to 17th. This means St. Pauli are at the foot of the table.
No!
Now it's time for an apology.
You put some music in there?
Yeah. I'll sort of hum like a death march.
Yeah. Now, last week we talked about St. Pauli. They were 2-0 up against Schalke, and then they got the result taken away. It wasn't, of course, it was Schalke were 2-0 up with a few minutes left, and they were given the 2-0 win. But
still a stupid decision.
Arguably, but I think in my head, that
mouth.
I was so convinced that St. Pauli would have still won
3-2.
So the sentiment still remains.
I'm not that bothered about it because it's not even in my top 10 errors.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've done those worse than that.
No idea. But anyway, at the top of the table, Leverkusen have pegged Dortmund back to 5 points again. But
there's only two games left, aren't there?
Well, there's two or three games left, so you'd still fancy Dortmund to take the title for the first time since 2002. But St. Pauli are bottom of the table, people. Mm.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly.
Enjoy it while you can.
That's right. Now then,
we'll still be reading about them.
But the thing is, though, Jim, when they get relegated down to the second division, the expenses are going to be sacked off. There's going to be no sausage train.
Yeah.
There'll be no strippers. There'll be none of that stuff.
Maybe they'll just sell loads of players and keep all that stuff.
Priorities.
That's what the people want.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to find information about Borussia, about the German second division on the internet as well. right, elsewhere in Europe. In Holland, there was a couple of big stories from the land of Nether. Feyenoord, who were in 10th.
Yeah, no, really
they beat PSV 3-1. Now, of course, PSV beat Feyenoord 10-0, was it?
That's right.
So it was not really revenge, but still it's something.
It's an improvement.
But they've also dented PSV's title challenge, which they'll be pleased about. And the other big story from Holland was Den Haag goalkeeper Gino Coutinho, who's put on trial after being charged for owning a cannabis farm.
It's Holland. Come on, it's Holland.
Every goalkeeper should have one.
but a whole farm? It's That's excessive.
Excessive, isn't it?
Yeah, very excessive.
But presumably he's sort of drug tested quite a lot. What? So if he lives on a drug farm, yeah, it was quite difficult to get past these tests.
I reckon that's how he got caught. No, I've not been taking it. I just live on a cannabis farm. Oh, shit.
Never use your own supply, Pete.
You never get high on your own supply.
That's right. Yeah, I couldn't quite remember.
Marcus's right. Street phrases.
I'm down with the kids. That's what he said last night. Watch me get him on this one.
What? I was in last night.
Watching The Wire, it seems.
Indeed.
Right then. Oh, it's time to go to our favourite new place, Romania.
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen. And Gigi Becali's been at it again. He's come up with the good. Now, this time,
have you got like a direct line to Becali?
I should get one, shouldn't I? We disagree on a lot of things, though. But the basics are there.
If you're prepared to accept some decent insults, you can probably be a good
president. He's been apologising to those he offended. He actually held a press conference for this. Now,
not as though he's full of his own self-important.
I've got to apologise for some people. Come on. Now, work out in your own head whether you think these are apologies or not. The first one was to Rapid Bucharest owner George Kopos. They've had a little bit of back and forth this
season.
Bit
of a ding-dong.
A bit of a ding-dong. He said, "I'm sorry for what I called him. He never answers back. I don't judge him. Yes, he's cheap, but let God judge everyone. I don't have to do it." He then addressed the gay community because he's been extremely offensive to them. He said, "I apologise to them. It's their problem, their disease, not mine."
Jesus Christ.
Again, work out for yourself if you think that's an apology or not. He then apologised to the Steaua Bucharest, his own fans, the club he is owner of, the fans. He said, "I'm sorry for offending them. Well, apart from the ones who called me to die just before Easter, they are possessed by Satan."
He's big on Satan, isn't he?
He's huge on Satan. So after he kind of summed it all up and said, "This was
to summarise, fuck the gays."
Yeah, pretty much. He summarised and said, "That feels better. I feel reborn, and it'll make Satan crazy." He hates it when a soul gets cleaner, but I didn't do this just for me. I'm an inspiration to millions. He's even annoying the devil, it would appear.
He is. You get the feeling that nothing is lost in translation there.
And even if it is, Pete. But there's another owner of a Romanian football club. His name is Ioan Nicolai, and he owns Astra Ploiești, and the club's new stadium will have its own marina. The reason for this, or Mr. Nicolai commented on this, he said supporters will be able to come to the games in their yachts.
He's targeting the rich. It's a good idea. It's Monaco-esque.
Doesn't make sense.
In Romania? I don't mean to sound hard. I mean, in England, there's not that many either.
No. It depends where it is. Yeah. If it's in the middle of the country and there's no river system, it's a silly idea, isn't it? Yeah.
Which English clubs could have a marina?
Portsmouth.
Could it? Are they right in the banks?
Portsmouth, yeah, right. And there's a big marina just down the road, Port Silent, yeah.
Could Newcastle?
Liverpool, maybe.
No, it's kind of on a hill, isn't it?
Fulham could, right next to the Thames.
Yeah. Fulham could. What about Liverpool? Mersey?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not going to take off.
No.
Hartlepool United are quite close to the marina. The Hartlepool Marina. So just extend the Hartlepool Marina. The vacant hellhole that is Hartlepool Marina.
Yeah. Do you think it's time for emails?
Yeah.
Probably.
Emails.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. Rob Page in Surrey, thank you very much for that. You mental.
Oh. It was like the Hacienda all over again.
But with emails.
Go on, Jimbo.
I've got one. Ramble Falls. While doing revision on the Vatican for my philosophy course, I came across the incredible revelation that Vatican City not only hosts an international football tournament, but has an international football team.
No, oh, we spoke about this before, haven't we?
I've got a team, I think.
Yeah. The Clericus Cup is held every year and made up of 16 teams from Catholic priest colleges all over the world, including a team made up of Italian Swiss guards. Ooh. In March 2008, a priest from Burkina Faso was sent off for throwing his shirt at a referee, which led to violence and fighting in the crowd.
Oh, goodness.
Leading to a plea from the Vatican officials to reform the league's disgusting behaviour. They clearly haven't seen competitive football since the 1880s. The national team is not a member of FIFA and has only played one full international against Monaco in November 2002, ending 0-0, and since then they've played teams from Italy, San Marino and Switzerland. Monaco, not a country, so, you know, still...
Clean sheet, though.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it sort of is, isn't it? But it doesn't.
Did the Vatican then promise to deal with all the trouble they had and then just turn a blind eye to it?
Almost certainly, yes. The team is made up of the Swiss Guard, who are the only individuals able to gain nationality from the sovereign state, and because they can't be pulled away for long periods of time, the team rarely play, although world competition may be on the horizon. Amazingly, Republic of Ireland manager Giovanni Trapattoni has stated that he's been approached by the country to coach them, and that in the future he would like to end his career there. There's hope yet. Cheers. That's Callum Farrell from Cardiff.
Let's have a bit of the Ramble team. Don't play that often.
Nomadic.
Yeah, nomadic.
A not a country.
Yeah.
Trapattoni's not going to take over there.
No.
It'd be nice to see them like battling it against like the Templar Knights and stuff. Sort of like sexy names.
Maybe against the Goths. The Whitby Goths.
Or if they just went around playing principalities like Lyon and sort of different places around the world.
Protestants, Capulets, and all that.
Greenland, that's a principality of Denmark. Play them. It's massive.
I think that's changed now, isn't it?
Oh, right. Well, I can still play Greenland if they want.
Greenland's stupid. I don't believe it's there.
Have I got an email?
You have.
I've got something that resembles an email, but I'm not sure whether to read it out or not. Shall I read it out?
Let's just take a punt.
This is from Mr. Goulding. Friend of the Ramble, Tom Goulding?
Tom Goulding? Yes.
Long time listener.
Dear Rambloids, Claudio Reyna, Orlando Bloom, and John McEnroe on a field playing football.
What?
That's what friend of the Ramble Tom Goulding is watching on Saturday afternoon as the New York Festival of Soccer took place on the pier of Lower West Side Manhattan, funded by the New York Cosmos.
Did Tom Goulding just refer to himself in the third person?
I believe he did. We should boo him.
Hang on a minute, he's reporting from
live from the field.
Said live from the New York Cosmos.
I thought he said from Karl Lagerfeld. Confusing. The day culminated in a remarkable celebrity match in the evening to raise funds for the charity foundations to help poor kids across America play and be coached the beautiful game.
Oh.
Orlando Bloom wasn't particularly a fan of the soccer, given he was more of a rugby player when he was younger. Not sure why he was here then. But McEnroe showed some incredible techers to open the scoring in the celebrity match with a diving far post header.
Oh,
it generated whoops from the crowd, and he was mobbed by Reyna. UFC fighter Anderson Silva put his weight about, while actor Ethan Hawke treated the crowd to some beautiful shin rollers from left back.
Great stuff.
Nice. Reyna showed his usual tricks he used to do at Manchester City by losing the ball consistently in the centre circle, doing it here to someone from Desperate Housewives.
I hope it was Terry Hatcher.
Reyna was a good player.
When I spoke to him afterwards, he spoke highly of Joey Barton and Stuart Pearce, but when I asked how it was playing with Bernardo Carardi and Giorgio Samaras for City in the mid-2000s, his reply was Corby Jones. The most capped player for the US national team was enthusiastic about the prospect of the Cosmos becoming an MLS franchise. Not by the projected date of 2013, but with their two US youth academies on either side of the American coast, hopefully producing future Cosmos soccer stars. He said that there are signs that the Cosmos might finally combine sustainability with the short-termism which so dominated the boardroom of the Cosmos in the 70s and 80s. Hope everything is well back home, Mr. Goulding.
They should enter that team into MLS. McEnroe and Bloom.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Hatcher.
I don't think Bloom played, did he?
He was there, but I don't think
he was there. I think he played. I just think he was very good.
Yeah, Cantona should have been involved.
He's busy in a helicopter overlooking football.
He's busy.
Oh yeah, lovely stuff. God, New York Cosmos.
Always welcome.
Get them on the map, ladies and gentlemen. It's profile time, and today, one of the best players of all time. There's not many people you can say that about.
Darren Moore.
At least you didn't say Luke Moore. Oh my god, James or Jim has been banging on about this man since the start of time to get him in the Dean Winners Hall of Fame. Well, he's going in today. It's Johan Cruyff.
I am so excited about this.
And I can
here he
you,
comes. He's a man beater.
Watch out, boys. He'll cheer you up.
Tim Lovejoy's favourite ever player. And can there be a higher accolade?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't spoil it.
It's a bad time.
I'll leave the final word to Tim Lovejoy.
Music in chat, everybody loved it.
Sorry, Johan.
This is about you. One of the best players the game's ever seen. You.
What, Tim Lovejoy?
Hijackers. Oh, dear. Oh, playmaker, goal scorer. But enough of Lovejoy. Cruyff was. Sorry. Johan Cruyff, oh my goodness, he was born on the 25th of April, 1947.
20 and a bit years before the summer of love.
And it's his birthday this week.
Oh, that's why he's in.
Can you believe
there's
that?
A link.
Yes.
Hey,
it's perfectly feasible.
Everybody has one. yeah, like televisions. Cruyff epitomised total football. Who would disagree with that?
Nobody.
An idiot.
Exactly.
Tim, no.
He's been far too as I say, he was a playmaker, a goal scorer. He could play out wide.
That's the thing with Cruyff, isn't it? Because you think of him as being sort of like a midfielder, sort of like playing in a kind of Zidane style position. But he was technically a striker.
That's
just it didn't really matter where you put him.
Really.
Yeah.
He was of course he was born in Amsterdam, quite close to the Ajax ground. His mother was a cleaner at the club, and she persuaded the coaches to put her son in their youth development system.
Oh, that's ruined it for me.
Yeah. Son of a sweeper.
Blatant nepotism nonsense. Yeah.
Son of a sweeper. Very good. He made his Ajax debut at 17. Now, during the 50s and early 60s, Dutch football had been quite amateur, really. It was in the mid-60s it was kind of becoming professional. But in 1964, Rinus Michels, a very influential coach indeed.
Well, the father of total football, along
you
with Jack Reynolds and people like that.
He became the manager of Ajax in 1964. It was only about 7 years later that his team was the best in Europe. It was a massive transformation.
Didn't they win three European Cups in a row?
They did, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, by 1968, they'd won a hat-trick of Dutch championships.
Not even Nottingham Forest had done that. No. They only won two in a row. Yeah. There's the level of the achievement we're talking about.
Exactly. And now they're in the playoffs. Ajax, I say they produced some great players back then. They've always produced great players.
Yeah, absolutely.
But back then was quite something, and Cruyff, of course, was the best one. As you said, James, the level of his ability was incredible. The technical skills, his speed, acceleration, dribbling skills. I mean, he had everything.
Cruyff had this really weird tendency to score goals where the ball looked like it would go over. And it would properly just creep in under the crossbar.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd lift it a lot, didn't he?
We always say you don't see any chips these days.
He scored an amazing goal for Barcelona, which is...
It's really famous, isn't it?
It's about a 6 foot high back heel.
Yeah.
On the run, full pelt.
It's different clubs.
Full stretch.
Unbelievable.
What do you think of doing that?
No, exactly. That's exactly right, yeah.
The sports writer David Miller said this about Cruyff. He said, "Few have been able to exact both physically and mentally such mesmeric control on a match from one penalty area to another."
He's the epitome of what people say about the truly great players, where the very top players in history will control the whole game. They'll control the whole pitch.
Every
player on the opposite side is aware of where they are. Mm. And Maradona was one of those, and Cruyff was absolutely one of those. Mm. The Cruyff Town, which I'm sure you'll come on to, we've got to put the video in of the most famous execution of that, where the defender almost takes his own shorts off. He's so bamboozled. He's sort of looking the wrong way. His body's the other way. It's like his blood's all been twisted out.
Yeah.
His head's back to front afterwards. He's never the same again.
Carter's tied himself in an actual knot. And Cruyff's long gone, you know. Yeah. There's nowhere to look. It's like he's disappeared. The defender actually thinks he's disappeared. It's crazy. And the reason it's so good as well is because when you fancy yourself as a bit of a player down the park with your mates or whatever, and you take on a few skills, and if you pull off like a reasonably competent Cruyff turn.
Yeah.
Almost like the Michael Jackson moonwalk. You think, I quite fancy this.
Yeah.
You think, oh yeah, that's all right. And you see them do it and you think, blimey.
Yeah,
I'm doing an 8% Cruyff turn. Because Johan Cruyff's Cruyff turn is a thing of absolute beauty. Mm. It's a thing of genius.
Well, yeah, he was a genius. It's weird because a lot of times you see footage of Cruyff and he almost... He looks like he's winging it a bit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But then we'll just do something that's clearly so, like, it has been planned sort of like four or five paces behind.
Oh,
it's
just...
He famously said, if you start your run earlier, you'll get there quicker, sort of thing.
That's right. Before I'm... What did he say? Before I make a mistake, I don't make that mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think...
apparently his quotes... He's got all these sort of funny quotes that they've been published in a book in Holland.
That's
my book of the week.
One of the famous quotes about when he was manager, I think it was at Barcelona, was he would say to players, if I see a player sprinting full pelt, it's because he's not left early enough.
I like a glide.
Well, very much so. He really did glide. He's very graceful at times, you know. So while he was at Ajax, of course, this total football style of play was brought to the masses. As you say, it wasn't perhaps a new idea necessarily. I mean, the Hungarian side of the 50s would be
and the Austrians as well before that. Yeah,
absolutely. But certainly they brought it to the masses and perfected it, one might say, or certainly the Dutch side of the 74 World Cup perfected it, really, and Cruyff almost sort of completed it, you know. He was the...
It's such a shame he didn't win the World Cup, because that would have been amazing.
Absolutely. The idea of total football, you know, the players play different positions, anybody can slot in anywhere, defenders become strikers, strikers become defenders, everyone's of a very similar ability.
Yeah.
It's just breathtaking, really. How,
and it makes perfect sense, by the way, as well. It makes perfect sense to train and coach someone into becoming a footballer, not to become a left back,
or become
a striker. Become a footballer, and master as much as you can,
and then play your best position.
And you're much more flexible. Absolutely right.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, James, Cruyff was seen as kind of like the centre forward to this system.
Yeah.
See, again, to me, he's an attacking midfielder, but. He's all things to all men and all defenders. Yeah. He would often drop deep to kind of confuse the centre backs and move out to the wing and blah blah blah, and just everywhere. You know, it was very difficult to mark him, I'd imagine.
I agree with that.
He had a very questionable temperament, though, didn't he?
Had?
I think
he still comes out with some pearls, isn't he?
It's strange for a Dutchman. But he massively rates himself. Yeah. But I think in his case...
But he backs it up, doesn't he?
Exactly,
that's the thing.
Well, he still pipes off now. But, he was suspended from the Dutch team for a year for one thing and another. And
wasn't that something really harsh, though?
He got sent off. He was the first player to get sent off for Holland and was banned for a year.
It's insane.
That is pissing on your own chip.
Yeah, that really... He was also the first player from Holland to be voted European Footballer of the Year, which he won three times, I believe. But in 1973, after winning loads of things with Ajax, he joined up with Rinus Michels, who was at Barcelona, coach of Barcelona then, for a fee which was in excess of 900 grand, which was a hell of a lot of money back then. Mm. His teammate Naiskins followed him. He was a player as well.
Yeah.
And they were at the Barcelona. They joined Barcelona. It was kind of... it wasn't kind of. It was... after the season had started, and Barcelona were struggling. They were down the table, and Cruyff's impact was...
second.
Yeah, that's right. Cruyff's impact was just incredible. They finished as champions. It was instant. As soon as he took over, woof.
Well, that's the thing with Cruyff, isn't it? It's like... He's a huge part of why Barcelona play in the way they do.
It's just
like
an extension of his philosophy.
And
Guardiola admits it.
Yeah.
Guardiola was the fulcrum and the linchpin of the midfield.
The dream team.
Manager there, absolutely.
Totally. So, yeah, I mean, just going back to it, they finished as champions in 73-74 season, which included a 5-0 win against Real Madrid. Which
sounds
I think
familiar.
Was in Madrid as well. And that was the first time in 14 years Barcelona had won the league. So this was in 1974, and of course then came the World Cup in West Germany. The Dutch team were led by big Johan Cruyff himself, and were just on a different level to the rest of the teams in that tournament.
They brushed teams aside
the
final.
In the run-up to the final, I think it would have been six games, and they scored 14 goals and conceded one.
Comfortably beat Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely.
True. He scored a lovely volley in that game.
Brushed him aside.
Well, they knocked Brazil off their perch.
Yeah. And in the World Cup final, and we all know that they scored a goal without Germany touching the ball.
Yeah. Penalty, in the first minute.
Which Naiskins put away.
It's the most incredible start to a World Cup.
But Germany did a really, really good number on them in the final. I mean, Bertie Vokes and one or two others really stifled them in midfield and made it very difficult for them.
But I mean, again, you know, we can't get sidetracked to what we're talking about. But the Germans, you can't...
You can't write them off.
You can't argue with them, you know? And if you do, then you're in trouble.
But it is a shame for football in general.
It is.
I'm not going to be as bold as to say that even some Germans would agree with me, because they obviously wouldn't. No. But the rest of the world, it's a real travesty. It's up there with Brazil 82.
The Mighty Maggies, 54.
England 2002.
Nobody would disagree. But, I mean, James, you were saying to me earlier that the Dutch... They went 1-0 up, and it was like they just started passing it around, and they just sort of
forgot to score again.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
It's just incredible, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a real bitter disappointment for them.
But they ended up losing 2-1, of course.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? I think it was the first time since 1938 they'd qualified for the World Cup. 38-74. You see, the Dutch weren't a big footballing powerhouse.
They're not a massively populous country, remember?
Mm. No, absolutely. But it was until, like, as I say, the late 60s, 70s, really, that they came onto the map. And Cruyff and all these guys, you know, Mikkels and so on, absolutely huge part.
Transformed him.
To play for that. Now, before the 1978 World Cup, he won European Footballer of the Year for the third time, but he kind of prematurely retired. And he didn't play in 78, which was a great show for one reason or another. So he finished.
There are literally about 10 theories as to why he didn't do it.
Yeah.
He himself says that there was a kidnap plot involving his family.
Right. Other people say that his wife didn't want him to go because he was allegedly a bit of a philanderer.
Yeah. I love that word.
And then I love that also that Cruyff and one or two others tried to turn it into a political protest against the junta in Argentina. I can't see that being the case. This is the man who used to have two stripes in his Dutch strip instead of three because he got his own sponsorship deal with Puma instead of Adidas. You know, he's very much a lone wolf.
Yeah.
Even though ironically he played in total football, which is weird.
Yeah, he played 48 games for Holland, scored 33 goals, which is a fantastic record. Absolutely fantastic.
Not an out and out striker.
Yeah.
You know, it's just great.
Yeah. Even for an out and out striker,
it's great. Yeah.
You take that. But yes, he prematurely retired, and then he changed his mind in 1979 and he joined the Los Angeles Aztecs in the North American Soccer League.
Nazzle.
Indeed it is. Or was. He also played for the Washington Diplomats. I love that.
That's a great name.
Amazing.
I love that name. I wish I played.
Alright, fair enough, it was a red card.
And in 1981 he went to play for Levante, who were obviously playing the Spanish
League. He didn't
get
on that well.
Second
then,
division
did
at that time, wasn't it? I think
it was an odd move. It was an odd move. But he was only there for a brief time, and then he rejoined Ajax for a second spell, where he won a couple of Dutch champions.
There was a thing about that, because there was a lot of talk that he was past it, you know, because he's had a couple of odd moves at the end. I don't know if you've seen the goal he scored on his return. It's just this amazing chip after he beat about three players. Jesus.
He's absolutely different class. And he said there was another particular memorable moment. Was it? I don't suppose it was on the same game, when it was a cold December day and Ajax were in front. They got a penalty and Cruyff took the ball and he put it on the spot, and instead of shooting he passed the ball to, I think it was Jesper Olsen, and then he kind of dribbled towards the keeper and knocked it back to Cruyff, and then he scored. Obviously Henri and Perez tried this for Arsenal and kind of failed.
Somehow got it wrong. Not that difficult,
but it was just so innovative. And Cruyff said about the incident, he said, well, it was a cold day and the quality of the match was average. We wanted to spice things up a bit and give people something to talk about. That's what football's all about.
I thought when he was at Levante they got relegated the season he left.
Oh really?
I remember reading about it a while ago, and he said I think he only played a few times for them and scored a couple, but then it, just because he got annoyed, he went to some other final, didn't he?
That's right.
He played with Hull at a final, I think so.
1984, that was that. He won the League and Cup double with Feyenoord.
He was pushing on by then. I mean, he'd been about, what, 30 odd or?
Yeah, he was in his 30s, yeah. And then he went back to Ajax to manage the team in 1984. And Danny Blind told a funny story. Great centre-back, Danny Blind was. Was telling the story that obviously a number of the Dutch players who were playing for Ajax played for the national side, including Van Basten and some of these guys. And when they went to the national team set-up, Blind said that... they used to come back to Ajax, and I think they were basically would say to Cruyff, it's not as good as it is here, and you know, there's a bit of trouble in the team with certain other players, and Cruyff said, look, you've got to be the big boys in the national team setup. Your Ajax players, he said. And Blint said he wanted us to force our will on the rest of the players. And if there was a player in the team that didn't want to play play ball with us, we needed to force him out of the team by ignoring him or giving him hospital balls and all this kind of stuff.
For the greater good.
That's Cruyff was saying.
My God.
To his players, be disruptive in the national team. And we wonder why Holland have always got problems.
Jesus,
kind of thing.
That's great.
Absolutely funny. Absolutely.
That's why John Terry did that.
And under Cruyff, Ajax won the cup, won his cup in 1987. Now, funnily enough, after some disagreements, he left in 88 to go and replace Terry Venables at Barcelona, and they won the cup, won his cup, and as we said earlier, you know, he just revolutionised the side with sort of free-flowing attacking style, and Pep Guardiola was a huge part of that team, and they won the team became known as the Dream Team.
Yeah, that's an incredible players, isn't it? Stoichkov and Romario together.
Yeah. Up front.
Baquero, Guardiola.
Koeman.
Yeah, Ronald Koeman.
Yeah, Gorky was there, I think.
Quite possibly. They won the 92 European Cup at Wembley.
Yeah.
And his influence is still there, as you said, that attacking possession
style.
Well,
it's the 4-3-3 thing as well, isn't it? You can't change that at Barcelona. It's sacrilege. I think Cruyff had something to do with that originally.
It's down memory lane, but they not beat Sampdoria in that final.
They did, yeah. I think Viale was playing for Sampdoria. But yeah, you can't go turn up to Barcelona as a manager and go, well, I think we're going to play 4-4-2 this season. No, that's not what we do here.
No. All right, Mike Bassett. We're doing 4-3-3. Get on with it. One of the things that Sandro Rosell, the current president of Barcelona,
Dave Bassett,
which wasn't that popular, was he rescinded Cruyff's life presidency, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And Cruyff got annoyed about that. Didn't Cruyff say, I don't want to be a clown in your circus anyway, or something?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Dear, oh dear. Well, yeah, he was incredibly successful at Barcelona. I think they won 11 trophies in 8 seasons. They won 4 Spanish championships and, as I say, the European Cup and all sorts. But unfortunately, by the mid-90s, the things started to go a little bit wrong. They were knocked out the Spanish Cup by Betis, who were a second division side at the time, and that was followed by a home defeat by Atletico Madrid, and that was the first time in something like 6 seasons that they'd lost 2 successive games at the Nou Camp.
Sack him.
Well, he was there for a couple more years, but in 96 he also had a heart attack, I think,
well. That's right. And he had to stop smoking. He substituted cigarettes for a lollipop.
Yeah. I can remember seeing that. Yeah, absolutely. And 96 that he was sacked, sadly. Bobby Robson took over. But
when God shuts the door, he opens a window. Eh?
It's weird to think that Cruyff, that incredible time at Barcelona, which, as we say, we still see the effects very much so of now, was. In between two Englishmen.
Venables and then Robson. Great, yeah.
It really is odd. He did say about the English game, he said, the great strength of the English game, which worries all foreigners, is its pace, the quick movement of the ball. But midfield carries the balance of every match. So long as English teams allow themselves to be outnumbered in midfield, they will not exploit their advantages.
It's exactly what Gary Neville said about the national team.
Yeah.
Saying that they need 3 in the midfield at international level.
Yeah, a lot of people have said it. I mean, he was a real know-all as well, Cruyff. Yeah. He knows, he's correct.
He was the know-all.
Yeah, apparently when he was in America, when he was playing out there, he bowled up to one of the famous American football coaches, really well-renowned, and started to lecture him on the tactical aspects of American football. Which was absolutely superb. Since not managing Barcelona, since he left there, he has gone on to do a number of business ventures. He's got his Cruyff Classics, the trainers.
Yeah.
He was manager. I mean, you say manager, they only play once in a blue moon of
Catalonia.
Catalonia.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was kind of he's always in and around Ajax.
I bet he takes that really seriously. That's Catalonia.
I bet he's like David Brent at Ajax. I bet he's in there all the time playing with the printers and stuff.
I'm not going to phone ahead.
In 2007 Ajax decided to retire the number 14 shirt in his honour.
Big shout.
There's an annoyed substitute, I tell you. And in 99 he was chosen as the best player of the century for Europe.
We've got to get a couple of videos up on round with you. What a player.
What a player indeed. And we'll leave the final quote to him, otherwise he wouldn't be happy. He said, with regards to his playing career, he said, "We showed the world you could enjoy being a footballer. You could have a laugh and have a fantastic time. I represent the era which proved that attractive football was enjoyable and successful." And I'm not going to argue with that. Here he comes. Ladies and gentlemen, Johan Cruyff.
And not before time.
Indeed.
I'm sated.
Well, that is the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website, of course, is thefootballramble.com.
We've got some blogs up, and on the Ramble blog this week, I cry about Arsenal. Ramble blog, new boy Terry Duffland sings the praises of Schalke's Manuel Neuer. Andy Brassel confirms the rubbishness of St. Pauli and Wolfsburg, which we mentioned last week, and James Appel dissects the departure of Spartak Moscow boss Valery Karpin. Rupert Fryer explains the bizarre situations of River Plate and Olimpo, who are simultaneously vying for the title and battling relegation. It's really fascinatingly strange, that. Chris Nee looks at Dybek's ref rage, and Mikhail Zakodny shines his light on the ineptitude of Legia Warsaw. So that is the Ramble blog. Get over there and have a look.
Footballramble.com.
Absolutely. Pete?
Every Friday, PFC encapsulating Football Ramble Extra. Another 10 minutes of ramble. Can you imagine
sometimes
that?
Sometimes even 12.
PFC is cool as hell.
No,
Follow down a well.
Jim is worried about Arsenal.
And there's videos and cartoons and shit up there. So yeah, it's all good.
Cooking with Jens Lehmann was a particular highlight last week.
I enjoyed that.
Me dressed up as Jens Lehmann in my kitchen.
In a wig and some I think some lines drawing your face with your girlfriend's mascara. Eyeliner?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use Sharpie this time.
You've been told about that.
Well, there we are. Right then. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Easy.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off to apologise to Gigi Becali. Ta-ta.
Starry eyes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.